I am glad to be back in Central Texas. I'm glad to be home. And it is a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to be in our church today. It really is. And I have something I want to say to the church this morning. If you'll take your Bibles, and we're going first to Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter. Now, you have to come along with me a little bit today. While I was in Alaska, I stepped on my glasses. Yeah, they're bent. They go every which way. I can hardly see what I'm looking at right now, but thank you, dear. But we are in Matthew's Gospel in the 28th chapter. And keep your Bibles in front of you because you're going to need them. We're jumping from Matthew to Mark, on over to Luke and John. We're going to a lot of places this morning, but I want to do them very quickly, as quickly if I can read this. I'm glad we got an extra light on here, and I'm having a hard time already even seeing this thing. In the 18th verse of the 28th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in the heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of what? The Father. And of the Holy Ghost." Why would he want you to do that? Because that's his command. Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Mark's Gospel, the 16th. You're looking at it? The 16th chapter, verse 15. "And he said unto them, Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Very straightforward, but it's the words of Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 24, if you can pick it up at verse 45. "Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." We are to be the witnesses that Christ called us to be. Then I want to jump over to John's Gospel, John chapter 21. This may make sense to you in a little bit, hopefully. John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. "And when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" You know that he will complete that time frame. And he'll ask him three times, "Do you love me?" And Simon Peter finally gives him the answer that he wants to hear, the love that he wants. "I do love you. I love you as God loved me, in a pure love. Not in a philia, friendship love, but in a love that was overpowering and great." How many of you like to read? You like to read? I love to read. I'm having a hard time reading anymore right at the moment. It's maybe new glasses will fix all that thing. I hope it will. But how many of you read the last of the book before you read the rest of it? What kind of confession is that? You read the last of the book before you read the rest of it? No? You don't want to be surprised? You want to read and know the answer before you get to that part of it? Well, how did the ending prepare you for the rest of the book? Anybody? Was it good for you? Come on, Darlene. You're the only one to confess to anything. I mean, it's something that we get. If you were to turn to the 22nd chapter of the book of the Revelation, Jesus made a very strict statement to him. He said, "I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell will never prevail against it." But the call was to every one of us to be that church. and to bring those into the church that he knows, that he died for. There's a lot of questions today. A lot of questions that I've had over the last couple of days being in Alaska. No, I did not have time to sit down and read and do the things that I like to. I tried to do it on a plane with a little bitty light, and I read for about 5 minutes or so, had to stop and then pick it back up and do it again, and you know, until I got through things. But I picked up a very interesting book at my friend's church. I preached at First Nazarene Church in Fairbanks, Alaska last Sunday morning. It was a great time. It really was. I enjoyed myself immensely. I don't know if they enjoyed me, but I enjoyed that. But I read something in a book that I just happened to see that was on his desk, and it was about the church, and it was about our church. No, it did not name Cornerstone exactly, but it named the church. We are a reflection of the church universal, everywhere. We are no different. We are just like the church all across the world today. So what is the church? What is the ecclesia? What is it, did God mean it to be? And why I ask these questions, because I always like people to answer for themselves, not because I say you need to buy it, buy into what I'm thinking. But I find out everywhere I go that the church usually is for church people. And then I read to you what Jesus said out of Matthew's Gospels, out of Mark, out of Luke, out of John, out of the book of the Revelation. And the church was not to be just for church people. It was never to be that. It was to be for those outside. They're for those that we could reach out to, that we could bring them in and make them love Jesus Christ, that they could see the love of Christ. And I have no doubt, I can always brag on you everywhere I go for the friendliness of our church and for the encompassing of people. No matter who it is that walks through those doors, our love for people stands out. But I also say that God didn't call me to build this church or this assembly on me. That would be a disaster. I mean, absolute disaster. The foundation could never be me. It could never be any person outside of the Godhead, outside of Jesus Christ. But the history of the church goes in so many different directions, but is it the reflection of what Jesus had in mind? I had to ask myself that. I mean, I really needed to ask really what I think is the ultimate question. Are we what Jesus had in mind? Individually, you are the church. Are you what Jesus had in mind when he saved you? When he brought you into this world? I don't mean the world of you were born physically. I'm talking about the spiritual world. Are you what Jesus had in mind? As I've went from different places while I was in Alaska, mostly only Home Depot and Lowe's, visited them usually three or four times a day for all the projects we had to get done and all the things we were doing. But at least I got to spend time looking at one book. And in that book, it was a book about revitalizing the church. And it was built upon the very fact of what has taken place in the last few years. And I think that every one of us really would have to say we've been through some tough times. The church has been through some tough times in the last couple of years. And not just here, but I mean everywhere. We've experienced deaths of people that we loved, our senior saints that have gone on into glory, some that I think of all the time. I remember them and with fondness. I remember their distinct personalities, and I miss them. I really do. Of course, we've had the pandemic. We've watched our church being reformed. We've watched it being torn apart in some ways. We've watched people being scared to ever come back, scared to sit in the company of other people in the church setting. And for me, it has been something of, I've had to spend time, unfortunately, with self-doubt. Is this what God wants me to do? Am I doing the right thing? Am I leading the church the way I should be leading the church? Am I doing what he called me to do? I mean, you know, I face those kind of things. I face water pipes breaking. Sometimes they're inside. They flood the entire church. Turned out to be a blessing, didn't it? I think it did. We got new floors, chairs, all the stuff, all the things that God brought to us, being blessing us there. And now we have an outside water leak, another break, which we'll get to fix that. So you see, there's all kinds of questions. Questions about what are we doing? How are we doing it? And are we doing it for the right reason? At least I can say that it's been a challenge. Absolutely a challenge. I think Satan has had a field day with the church. I think he has worked it over. He's worked us over spiritually. I think he's worked us over personally. I think he's worked me over professionally. I think he's done his very best to destroy the ministry that Christ has given us. I'm not a quitter. And I am a fighter. I know that. Thank you. And then I listen sometimes to people that says, well, how about the good old days? How about the good old days, the days when Cornerstone was bursting at the seams with people, seating everywhere, the balcony was full, and all of those things. You know, the good old days were paid for with a lot of love and a lot of prayer and a ton of work. We may reflect and say, oh yeah, those were good old days and they were all those things, but there was tremendous sacrifices made to get there. And there's tremendous sacrifices that God are calling for us to do today to keep the church, to make it what it could be and the way God wants it to be right now. I'm always reading and seeing things like the Barna Group, and I read this at the first of the year, and I didn't mention it till now, but they said that 1,500 preachers leave the ministry every month. Can you imagine? They quit. Give up. Wore out, wear out, whatever you want to call it, that's what they do. I refuse to let Satan win. I refuse. I refuse to let what God has given us. And I know that the only way we're going to get through this stuff is that we have to lean on him. We have to lean on God completely. And we need to lean on other ministries. I love my brethren in the ministry here in Robinson and in Waco. I've got good friends. And I promise you, they pray for Cornerstone as I pray for their churches. They're good people, good men. Do they have a different persuasion? Of course they do. Do they emphasize different things? Yes, they do. But the one thing that they always emphasize, and I can always stand and know that they're going to do, is that Jesus Christ is the center and is the church. And we're going to continue to serve him. And God's always reminding me of that. He reminded me of that as I stood there and I watched a small congregation in a massive edifice. We would give to have the size of church that Marshall pastors. I mean, just simply the physical part about it. It's twice the size of our church. It really is. And it has maybe a tenth of the people attending that we have here today. But he's faithful. Been there 22 years. He's faithful. Does he ask God all the time about release? Yes. But he's faithful to what God has given him to do. And that's what we are called to do. That's what you are called to do. We are to be faithful to what God has given us. We're faithful to the call that God has placed upon our lives right here. I read one simple verse, not a verse, but just a statement by he was a district superintendent, and he was encouraging one of his pastors, and he said this, and I hope this will encourage you today. You are doing better than you realize. Does Satan ever say that to you? Do you know if you listen, God's saying it to you all the time? You are doing better than you realize. This church is doing better than you realize. I look up, the national average, 50% since pre-COVID in attendance. 50%. All across America, Americans have dropped out of church. They've left it. We've lost friends. We lost people that were very strong, and they're no longer with us. I hope they're somewhere. I hope they're blessing somebody. I hope they're in God's house somewhere today. But I know that may not always be the case. But when you think about nationally, the 50% of pre-COVID times, that's how much the attendance in church has dropped. That's a sad remark right there, but it is a true remark. That's why we've been called to adapt. Adapt to the calling that God has given. And see what God has blessed us with. It's not about the less, it's about the more. Look what God is doing today. Not what we've lost, but what God is doing. Look at the new families that we've got. Look at people that have come in that were not here pre-COVID, but they're here today. And we're blessed by them. We've been blessed in leadership. John has stepped up. Terrence did a great job last week. I have no doubt about it. Or I would not have left him and said, it's up to you. Take it. Because I knew that he could do it. I knew that he's more than capable. We have been strengthened every day to keep going in the path that God has set for us. And we're going to continue to do those things. We're not backing down. We're going to believe God, and he has to remind me at times, and I'm sorry. God's the rock, okay? The church is built on the rock, and he is that rock. And he started this ministry. He will continue this ministry until the day he says, it's over. I'm turning out the lights. But that's going to be a long time from now. Or he'll turn out my lights. And that maybe that's what he chooses to do. I want to leave you four things this morning. I don't want to spend a lot of time doing this today, but I got four things I think we need to do. The first thing is pray. The second thing is go. The third thing is return. And the fourth thing is adapt. You say, those are pretty simple words. I want you, the first thing is, when I talk about prayer, I don't want you to pray for normalcy. I don't want to pray that everything goes back to the normal way that it used to be, because I don't think the normal way that we used to do church was the best way. I think it was a way that was set upon. We need to get centered back on Jesus Christ. We need to focus our lives on him. It's obvious that there are things out there that you and I have not, we can't do anything about, okay? But there's one thing that we can do. We can keep our hearts where they need to be. We can do that part about it. And, you know, and when I really look at the church and I think about, well, the prayers, well, maybe things that were normal really weren't the good things. Maybe there was something that God really wants us to do, and he allows things like pandemics. He sifts the wheat, blows off the chaff, and the people that remain are the ones that really want to serve God. For far too long, I think the church has operated in a normal way. And unfortunately for me, the normal way is week after week, you do the same thing. Where's the deviation in that? Where is the Holy Spirit in that? When do we allow him to do what he wants to do? Because in my heart, and the way I see this, in many ways, the church is broken. And I'm talking about the church universal. It's broken. It's broken, and who is going to heal it? The only one is Christ. He's the only one, and a calling is to get back to him. We need to go to the great physician. We need to go to the one that brings the healing. And it's not to a program. It's certainly not to, it's only to him. We need a time of intentional prayer. You know, and I lack in that. I lack in the time that I need to spend in prayer. But I'm asking every one of you to think about, how is your prayer life? Have you focused? You want to see this church vibrant again? You want to see it bursting at the seams? I love kids. I love to see them. It doesn't bother me in the least. Go run up and down the aisles, whatever you want to do. Cry, jump up and down. It makes no difference to me. But I love to hear their voices. I love to see a church filled with kids, because that means that it's alive and it's well. You know, that church is very possible again. That's what God says. This is the future. This is what God wants to do. Once again, he does not want to take us back to the old days, even though as great and grand you may think that might have been. And I know that many of you were here long before I got here. But I can tell you, over the last 20 years, God has done great things. And he will continue to do great things, because we are focusing on him. But he's calling us to pray. He's calling us to pray for this church. We're to pray for what God wants us to be. Not what the institutional church is, but what God wants us to be. I can't control what's happening in our society today. I don't want to control what's happening in our society, but I can control how I respond to that. I can certainly say that my soul is going to stay on a path that glorifies God and not on a path that would make everything else happy. Because I'm certainly not happy with the direction our nation's going right now. I'm anything but happy about that. But the church, we need to recenter our lives on Jesus Christ and prepare for the way that he's going to direct this church in the future. So we need to pray first. And the second thing that we need to do is we need to go. It took us a long time to make small groups. Some people didn't like that. Some people still don't like it. But that's what God said he wanted us to do. At least that's what he said to me. And that's what we agreed to do, was to go to small. What is great about that? Sometimes God says, I want you to go small so you can grow large. You ever think about that? What does your small group do? It takes people in. We share our burdens, our needs in a small setting. But we never did that when it was a big setting on a Sunday night. We very rarely ever did that. But we have the opportunity to minister to each other by what God is doing in our personal lives. And we need each other. So he said, you go small, I will make you large. I can change things. But it wasn't made just for every little group, but to bring other people into those groups. And I don't mean other church people. I mean our friends outside. And that's been accomplished in a lot of ways. Not as full as I'd like to see it. But instead of looking, as I said, on what is less, we just need to see God. We need to see what God's doing today. Not seeing what he did yesterday. Yesterday's past. We can't change that. We need to see what God is doing today in our personal lives, in this church right here. Because the church is not going to be about numbers. The church is about people. It's about meeting the needs of people together. And I think small group does that. I think it helps us to meet, and when we share our lives together, we get to know each other. We get to know what's hurting in our lives or what is great in our lives. And we can rejoice because Jesus put us in this. He allowed these things to take place. I mean, he only had 12 guys. Come on. And some of them weren't worth having. But he turned the world upside down with 12. He taught them. And what do we have? We may not be a large congregation. We may not be about the numbers. But it's not about the numbers. It's about, is Christ at the center of what we believe? And will we impact everything around us? That's one thing that we do in small ways, but I'm hoping that in the coming year we'll do it in a bigger way. That we will impact our community in a big way. That the name of Cornerstone will be out there. Sometimes you just got to go smaller to go deeper. It's true. You have to. I can't get into your lives unless I have time with you one-on-one. I can't know everybody. Oh, I know most of the people here in a very intimate way and a lot of things about you, but I don't know you the way that I could know you if I had time to spend with you in a smaller setting. But that's why we have divided up. We went smaller than we might grow larger. And that's why I believe that you need to pray and focus on Christ. We need to go to that. We need to rejoice in that. Hey, there's always room for more small groups. Isn't that right, TJ?
Yes, sir.
We need it. The third thing on my list today was we need to return. We need to return to people. You can take that any way you want to. But many of our members are scattered right now. Many of our members have disconnected from our church. They're not disconnected from Christ, but they're out on a fringe somewhere. And we need to get back to them. We need to let them know that we want them to be connected. We still want to be part of their lives. Now, that may not change a thing. They may never darken the doors of this church ever again. But that should never change why we would reach out and we would touch their lives in such a way. We need a concerted way, an effort, to reach out to those people, to reconnect, because they are definitely disconnected. We need to let them know that we still love them, that we still care about them. And if they're going somewhere else, then rejoice with them. Because I want them to be where God wants them to be. But I know this one thing, and I'm really bad about it. You know how many phone calls I get a day? Tons. I can't even begin to number them. But you know, I was told by one friend, he said, you know, your phone calls out as well as it calls in. He had to remind me because he's the one that usually makes the phone call. We have a great time talking, but he said, that phone will actually call somebody. You know, my phone will actually text. It's amazing. I'm very challenged, people. I'm sorry. Brian, I have that issue. I'm not the Googleites that my wife is or some other members of our church. God wants us to reconnect, whether it's by telephone, by text, social media, however you want to do it, Facebook it, I don't care how you do it. Maybe you just need to use snail mail. They still sell stamps. I mean, at least they used to. I mean, I don't know if they still do that or not, but I think they do. What do we need to connect to? We need to connect people to God's love. We need to tell them that Christ loves them and we love them. And we need to mean it. They need to hear that. Don't text me that, please. Call me, okay? If you want to get a message to me, I know you guys like to text. I want to hear your voice. You know the people that are disconnected right now really want to hear your voice. Oh, they may say, well, I'm busy and I've been doing this and I've been doing that, but they still want to hear your voice. They want to know that Christ loves them and we love them. We need to call and encourage them. And whatever things that they're facing today, we need to be an encouragement to them. We need to show them there is hope for the future. We need to do all of those things because that's what our church is. And that's what God has called us to. That's what Jesus called me to do. And I think it's the same for every one of us. So you need to pray. Sometimes you need to go. Sometimes you need to return. But the last one, I think this is really the most important one. Sometimes we just need to be adaptable. I know it's unnerved people that we're not doing it the way the old people did it. Okay, I'm old, but I'm adaptable. I'm not willing to go back to something that didn't work. Oh, it may have worked back in the 50s. Yeah, I'm that old too. I'm only 53. That's a lie, too. Okay. People, We got to adapt. Like I said earlier to you, you can't control what happens to you. I can't control what's going to happen to this church, but I certainly can control how I respond to that. You realize that when we had the freeze, what was it, 2 years now? Our water pipes broke. Not just one, two. 3/4-inch water lines flooded this whole place. Goodbye carpet. Praise God. That was a great thing. And it won't be long. This is going to be gone too. I promise you. This green is, and I've got green and gold in my heart. But anyway, it's gone. Our pews. Oh, that's too bad. We lost our pews. I was so thrilled when those pews finally got thrown out. I wanted to drag every one of them out of their particle board. They got water sucked up in them. And they said, I think you can save those. I don't think I can. You know how many pews I fixed in this church? Me, just me. I fixed at least 10. And I know there were people before me fixed a lot more than that. I was so glad the pews are gone. The carpet was gone. I was so thrilled that we painted. I'm so thrilled that we were given different banners to put up. I'm so glad that you all decided that we could change, that we didn't have to serve God the way we always had from the time we were children. We're still children of God, but the maturity that has come along helps us to adapt. I know that out here at the front, in those flower beds, underneath the one on this side that's under this much water right now because the pipe's broken, that this next week it'll get fixed. I'm going to have a good attitude about that because Richard told me I had to have a good attitude. Can we not look at change, people, as an opportunity? Why does change have to be bad? Well, I'm setting my ways. Well, get out of your ways. Change. Do what God wants to do now, today. See where the Spirit of God is leading us today and rejoice. Don't throw out the foundation. Man, we're built on a foundation. We're not going to throw that one out. But the expressions and the joy that Christ is giving us today, that's what we need to bring up in our lives. What can God do with me today? I want you to evaluate the essentials. What are the essentials of worship in our church? If there's anything that you don't think is essential, or if there's anything that we're putting above that, let me know. You know why? Because I'll throw it out. There's nothing more essential than worshiping Christ. Not one thing. I love the music. I'm glad that Terrence and Heather put together a package, and everybody else, Jamie and TJ and Mary Grace, if you start crying again, I love it. It's a blessing. It's a change, but it's a great change. It glorifies the Lord, and that's all that counts. Let me finish. Being adaptable is what God has called us to be. Getting away from the sacred cows, and I'm sorry, Cornerstone has had sacred cows, but I'm sorry, but we butchered those cows. Don't tell any of the PETA people about that one. God has something for this ministry as long as we stay focused on Him, as long as we give over to Him. I'm not going to let, I can't be constrained by the past. All I can do is adapt to what God is providing today. And I want to tell you right now, you're a great provision for this church, every one of you. And I am blessed to be your pastor. Absolutely. I wouldn't want to be anywhere but right here. But at this present situation that we face today, God's still on the throne. We're still His children, and He still watches out for His children. He is working out His good in us every day. You may not see that, but I want you to remember, you're doing better than what you realize. I bet the Spirit will tell you that if you just ask Him. Let's pray.